Italian Wine Podcast, a Wine to Wine Business Forum 2021 media partner, is proud to present a series of sessions highlighting the key themes and ideas from the two-day event held on October the 18th and 19th, 2021. This hybrid edition of the Business Forum was jam-packed with the most informed speakers discussing some of the hottest topics in the wine industry today. For more information, please visit winetowine.net and tune in every Thursday at 2 p.m. Central European Time for more episodes recorded during this latest edition of Wine to Wine Business Forum.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Nadia Zanato. I am a producer from Veneto, from Verona, and I'm very familiar with the USA market because it's one of the most important market for our wines. And I am very excited today to share this panel with Alberto, where Alberto Martinez Interiano is a blogger, is an educator. And so I think it's a great opportunity for all of us to share, to understand better about the Hispanic wine, Hispanic community. And I really like to ask, so just for introduce you, the characteristic of the wines, Hispanic wines and the community, because maybe some of us doesn't know about exactly Hispanic wine and the Hispanic community.
Perfect.
So
great, I'll be happy to. Great, thanks.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Buon pomeriggio a tutti. So my name is Alberto, and in the next 30 minutes, I'll be quite excited to share some insights about one of the fastest growing consumer segments in the U.S., and one that is relatively untapped. There is an untapped market that has a lot of potential for wine in general, and specifically for Italian wine. So with that, let's further ado, a little bit about myself. So as Nadia mentioned, I'm a wine educator based in Seattle. I'm recently became an Italian wine ambassador too. And on the personal side, I was born and raised in El Salvador, in Central America, and have lived in the U.S. for the last 20 years. So first, as Nadia was asking, who are these people? What's the U.S. Hispanic market? What do they look like? So the definition is anybody, any person whose origins are in Latin America or in Spain. So that's sort of the Latino or Hispanic market, as I just called. In terms of a few facts about who we are, in the last census in 2010, it was accounted for over 50 million people. And that represents, it is expected to grow in the next few years, in the next 5-10 years, to nearly 60 million. So it's quite a sizable market. It represents close to 18% of the total US population. So that's roughly one out of six US consumers. And especially if we go to the younger people, to children and teenagers, it's one out of four. So it's quite a relevant market. We see also that this is the consumer segment that accounts for the largest growth in population in the last 10 years. And as of last census, more than half of the total population growth came from the Hispanic consumers. In terms of purchasing power, an interesting fact, as it shows here in the slide, is that over $1.3 trillion of consumer spending power. And just to put it into context, that is pretty similar to what the entire consumer economies of in countries like Australia, Spain, or Mexico. So quite a sizable spending power too. Finally, when we speak about the US Hispanic market, it's not really a monolith, just one single segment that it's exactly the same. There are a lot of commonalities, but there's also quite a few differences. First of all, as you can see here, just for country of origin, it's a wide and diverse space. There are people that have their origins in Mexico, in Central America, and South America. So where they're coming from is quite diverse. Also, in terms of level of acculturation or assimilation into the mainstream society, there are people who are recent immigrants who have just a few years and probably Spanish continues to be their dominant language, all the way to people who've been there, you know, sometime, or even second or third generation, where they're either at home, they're bilingual, or sometimes most likely English dominant. And just like other segments in the US, there's also quite diversity in terms of age. We have Generation X, there's also the baby boomers, people over 55 years old, and especially important, as we've seen here, there's a large growth in the millennial and Gen Z space. So lots of diversity in terms of age, country of origin, and nationalities. In terms of the main markets where you can find this, yes, it's, I think that we would say that Hispanics were pretty much in all 50 states, but mostly there are some population centers that we find a large majority of them. And there are four states, kind of on both coasts. There's California, New York, Florida, and also Texas in the middle, who has a quite an important Hispanic population. So we've seen that, yeah, this is a large market that has been largely untapped, and there's an important source for growth in the industry. Closely represents not only the present, but specifically the future, what the future US consumer is gonna look like. One of the old assumptions that people think when they think about the average US consumer, it is this kind of Anglo-Saxon, white, middle-aged man, most likely. And that is actually far from the truth. That was valid maybe, 20, 30 years ago, but nowadays it's changed, and it's probably gonna continue to change into a more diverse population. Not only that, but there's a couple of behaviors that are really relevant for the wine industry. One is there's a lot of affinity already with many wine growing areas, South America, Spain, Italy, in terms of just culture, linguistics, and especially there's a lot of food similarities too. Main values are what I call the three F's: family, food, and friends and social interaction. And for those Italians out here, you can see that there's a lot of similarities. There are many, many of the values that are shared with the traditional Italian customs. And that's something that, unlike the general US market, which is a lot more individualistic in a way, as Latinos, we're a lot more social, and friends and family, it's a big part of the society. In terms of trends, wine consumption, it is growing. And as we see here, in the last 10 years, regular wine consumption among Hispanics has grown over 50%. And it's expected to continue even grow even further. There's also a higher willingness to pay compared to the general market. I think in a recent survey, over half of the Hispanic consumers said that they would spend more than $15 a bottle for a bottle of wine, which is about 30% higher than the general consumer. And finally, like many other sort of emerging markets, there's quite an aspirational value in wine. People, when they start drinking wine, it's sort of a way of saying, I made it, and I'm sort of, I'm successful. And that's quite important, especially as incomes continue to grow. Here are a couple of interesting data points in terms of one of the main criteria that when asked U.S. Hispanics was about country of origin. How relevant is country of origin, meaning where the wine comes from? How important is that in the decision-making journey? And it is really important for Hispanics. A lot more, is about 40% versus 30% for the general market. So where the wine comes from, as opposed to, say, the style or the grape, it's very important. Not only that, but also this is a recent survey from the Wine Research Institute in Texas, that they surveyed Hispanic consumers and asked, what are your preferences depending on where the wine's country of origin is? It's not surprisingly, about 30% said that US, and especially California, was sort of the go-to country for consuming wine. But then we see number two, far ahead of many other places, is Italy, with about 18%. So, and that's even more so than other places that are either well-known producers like France or Spain, and even South American countries like Chile and Argentina. So there's a high preference already for Italian wines. As you see, there's a lot of positive trends, but there are some potential barriers of challenges that could limit this growth in this market. First of all, starting with just wine, it's familiar. It is part of kind of society, but it is not an everyday drink. Most of Hispanics consume wine, not really on a regular basis. The average consumption is about 2.5 bottles per month, which is not that a whole lot. And less than 10% state that they drink wine daily. So like other US consumers, wine is still mostly drunk as a sort of aperitif or cocktail before or after the meal. There was also some perceptions somehow, I don't know, wrong, that Latin food doesn't necessarily pair well with wine. So one of the opportunities, there are a couple of opportunities that I see here. One is just increasing that frequency and make it more of a regular daily consumption. And that can be done by actually positioning wine as more of a casual drink that goes well at the dinner table to complement your meals, which is something that is quite familiar probably for people in Italy and other European countries. Also, there's that perception that wine is more as elite, is really not for me. And there are some gaps of knowledge. People don't really know that much about wine in general and about Italian wine. So there's opportunities to educate this audience in many different aspects. And finally, this wine is not the only player in the beverage industry. And there are other beverages that have been focusing on Hispanic markets for quite some time, quite successfully. Beer in particular, spirits in general, and even sort of new wave trendy drinks like hard seltzers most recently. So here's where I believe that there's a big opportunity for wine educators in general to be the bridge that exists between this huge market of future and potential consumers and the wine industry. And there are multiple ways that I think we can do that. One is by bringing that cultural relevance, which makes a lot of sense. Yeah, so far you can reach those customers with a general sort of mainstream message, but there's an opportunity to be culturally relevant. And by that, I mean things like, for example, when given descriptors about wine, make it in terms and in descriptions that make sense for Hispanic consumers. For example, when we hear about some wines that smell like boysenberries and gooseberries, there are some things that most people don't really know what that is, right? That's more of a really Northern European type of fruit. So just bring it into some aromas and general descriptors and flavors that are more akin to what people can relate to. I think that's quite simple and easy to do. As I mentioned, education is key. So just getting the lay of the land of where things are and where is the wine coming from, it can go a long way towards just getting that, registering that in consumers' minds. And there's also the opportunity to do it with food and pairing that local pairings with local food. Latino food dishes makes a lot of sense and can sort of start to get this, make it more of a habitual drink. There's an opportunity to sort of people relate and are more open and more receptive when they look, you know, when they look up to people who kind of speaks and look like them. And we see that the 60-year-old Anglo-Saxon man in advertising or in any type of communications, it really doesn't quite register. But if we see somebody who looks and acts and speaks like them in their terms, there's a lot more potential to sort of make it that relevant. However, there is one thing that there's only very few, and there's an opportunity to grow the number of Hispanic One educators. Just an informal survey that I did right before this, as I was putting together this presentation. In the large US WSET schools, only about 2% of instructors and educators are Hispanic. So we have some way to go in terms of increasing that number of people who can act as a bridge. And I mean, not only sort of former educators, but anybody who's in contact with Hispanic consumers, whether that's, you know, sommeliers or people that work in retail shops, distributors, importers, etc. Here's just a small sample of some best practices or some people who are doing, have taken a really great first steps to do so. For example, I like to call out, there's an organization that recently was founded called Hispanics in Wine, that's basically a new platform to promote wine and wine culture among this audience. And what they do is, one, they raise awareness overall in the industry, awareness about the just wine, and to say that we're here, awareness of the Hispanic consumers, and build connections and build sort of a community of like-minded individuals who appreciate wine and who sort of can serve as a snowball to get that cultural process going. And there are also people who are doing educational initiatives and either promoting jobs within the industry. There's also new media, and especially here, sort of millennials and Gen Zs are doing really interesting things to reach these new type of consumers in different ways that traditional education was like. For example, here I'm featured this guy called Roberto Rivera, who has an Instagram and a YouTube channel called Roberto Uncorks. And it's a series of videos that he creates to really promote more like educational videos about learning, about wine, about great varieties in a more sort of informal, fun way that is really appealing to the millennial audience and even younger than that. And finally, to my right, there's another best practice of actually regional boards who are doing specific outreach to the market. And in this case, the CIBB or the Comité Bordeaux, a few years ago put together, you know, a partner with this really well-known Latino chef and TV personality, and put together this new campaign called Viva Bordeaux, which was basically a great online recipe in video series where Bordeaux wines were paired with local Latin dishes. And it was a sort of a great way to sort of make Bordeaux wines, which had seemed for everybody, and especially for Latinos, were believed to be not very approachable and sort of out of reach and complicated. It made it a lot more relevant for consumers, especially pairing with local dishes. So here are some takeaways that I'd like to leave in terms of the opportunity here. As we've seen, the U.S. Hispanic market is large, and it's going to get even larger. And though general consumer, you know, appealing to just the general market works, there is a big opportunity to be culturally relevant with specific campaigns that target this audience. One thing that we already have, there is a big advantage about wine and about Italian wine, that there's already an affinity to it. There's a preference for Italian wines that can just be tapped and even grown further. And we see the role of the wine industry in general, and wine educators in particular, as acting as this liaison, as this link between the industry and this large consumer base. In terms of what can the industry do, there are many things. If I would say that there are two main things that are sort of short, low-hanging fruit, easy picks. One is to go out of your way to recruit and invest in Hispanic talent. And that means, as I said, any type of person who has a consumer-facing role. And that means go and find sommeliers and retailers and distributors and importers, somebody who's already in touch with the audience and can sort of has a head start in approaching the Hispanic market. One way to do it, and I think that's been quite successful, is via education. Education scholarships go a long way of getting these people ready, who then can enter the industry and be advocates of your brand and of the wine industry in general. And there's also the opportunity for wineries, for consortia, or for any other player in the space to do some specific cultural relevant outreach. And by that, it's as easy as ring fencing or allocating some funds specifically to targeting the Hispanic consumers. And we can see that there is a large opportunity and the potential for a really big payoff down the road. So with that, I think that just wanted to, thanks again, grazie tante, for the time, and I'm really open to any questions.
Thank you, Alberto. So before maybe to ask to the panel some question, I have a question for you.
Please.
So more and more the USA culinary market is influenced by, of course, Hispanic chefs and restaurants, mm-hmm. no, in America. What needs to be done to attract the large Hispanic customer to consume wine in this restaurant or another beverage?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to get started.
Because mostly is Hispanic community.
Yeah, and we've seen in the last few years that there's been a boom of overall sort of Spanish and Hispanic culinary scene, which started with, you know, tapas bars, and it made it all the way to now fusion and Latino fusion cuisines. So I think that there's an opportunity very similar to what, say, CIVV pioneered in a way, in terms of partnering with some of the well-known chefs and people in the industry, and in doing these type of marrying the wines, yes. your wines, with some of the cuisine. And as we've seen, yeah, there's still that perception that Latin food doesn't pair well, which couldn't be farther from the truth. So just partnering with some, you know, champion, either, you know, mm-hmm. some chefs, so well-known chefs, in especially, I would say, in those four key Hispanic markets, mm-hmm. in, you know, Miami, for example, or Los Angeles, or New York, or San Francisco, or even like Dallas and Houston in Texas. Those specific markets that have large community pioneers in terms of restaurants and overall wine bars. And doing something proactive to do that, I think that that's a great way to get in Italian wines known and really pairing it with a local food.
Yeah, because in the past, you know that for the Italian wines, the proposal was Italian restaurants, no? So, and I think what you say before is a new trend, is a new opportunity also for our wines, for the Italian wines to start with this new community. So I think, so thank you for your explain also about this. And
just to add to that, yes, I think that not only that, but there's two other benefits in Italian wines, that preferences for Hispanic consumers, they like either on the red side, sort of bold, fully fruit-forward wines. And there are some Italian wines that fill that profile, that initially can be the good bridge into getting into the Italian, you know, wine scene. Also, the Latin foods are heavy on sort of or acidity. We're not afraid of acidity, and there are some, we use lemon and lime and that type of thing really well, which goes pretty well with some Italian white wines. So I think the opportunity is both for whites and reds, and they do pair really well with some Italian wines.
Okay.
Sorry.
No. And also the largest Hispanic community is more in California.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, you tell. And California also is famous because there are a lot of wineries, no, where they produce wine. So how can Hispanic educators help to direct more wine consumption to the Hispanic community? So
I think that's right. And probably the default is that people go for California wines, as we saw Earlier, that's the number one in terms of preference, but Italy's right after. So getting to know Italian, mm-hmm. Italian regions in a little more detail and having people ask about Sangiovese or Chianti or Amarone or Corvina, exactly, versus say what people know with the default, which is Chardonnay and Cabernet. That is a challenge that I think people are, especially as we saw that Hispanics are interested in knowing more and getting outside of the California, the traditional California scene, which is great, but then there's opportunity to just by educating them on the native grapes of Italy and educating them on the main regions of Italy and tying that to the history and the territorio, that goes a long way, I think.
Yeah, also because of Italy, we have a lot of a region with a different variety of grapes, you know? So I think it's a great opportunity. And do you think that the best way to promote is, of course, is the social, or also there are other way to promote, of course, our wines in this particular moment after the pandemic period? What do you suggest?
Yes, I'll say yes and yes. Okay. Yeah, I think that nowadays we found that online and social, there's no way back. First. Yeah, it is there, and it's there to stay. And not only for sort of the newer audiences, mm-hmm. new generation, but pretty much for all consumers. So yes, but there's opportunities once sort of the Horeca comes back to bring it into being a player in your marketing mix as well. I think social, it's for here and probably during this transition period would be quite important. But then having that sort of in-person live experience, either partnering with similar players in other industries makes a lot of sense too. But social is probably the one that is initially, it's a less of an investment and makes a lot of sense for many different ones.
Okay, thank you, Alberto. I don't know if there is some question from the panel. Do you have any question to Alberto? Yes, please.
Hi, and thank you for a great presentation. I'm Juliana from Plantron Partners. I was curious to see that Italy is so much higher in terms of consumption percentage than Spain. I would think that the Latino market might have an affiliation with Spain or just some affinity towards that category. Any thoughts on why Italy, and I'm happy to see it, but why Italy is performing so much better than Spain when it comes to consumption among this population?
Yeah, I think that was an interesting finding even for me too. And not only to Spain, but to other markets, to other countries, and you know, like Argentina and Chile, which probably many people are coming from. I'll say that, yeah, so there is probably, and on the positive side, there is the ease of familiarity with the Spanish, and you can read the label, and so you can figure it out. So there is a positive on that. But I think that Italy has that sort of aspirational value of something new and unique, and you feel a little, yeah, more than just the familiar. And I think that's a value that Italy brings, mm-hmm. that there is this aura of Italian products in general. And that also applies to wines in terms of perceptions of prestige and quality and, mm-hmm. you know, in a way, fashion, I would say. But those are the aura that the Italian made in Italy has, that has trickled down into wine. And I think that's another area where people would prefer that, which I also was surprised, but it's great to see it, that it's so high, even, you know, second, not only after the U.S.
My name is Andrei Vatkilin. I'm from Latvia. I'm Italian wine ambassador. We teach together, studying and get the same. Well, could you please uncover recruit and invest in local educator,
mm-hmm.
what kind of, in details, what is your, let's say, vision of this, let's say, movement? How, again, you are a producer and probably mm-hmm. you are in a consortium, maybe also you are, tell your opinion how it could be possible to connect. Because, of course, we have a in each country distributor of wine, and we also have a wine distributor that teach, let's say, in Horeca sommelier, but they teach, let's say, how to sell their wines. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I have my wine club and I have my visitors, and I see sometimes that, for example, about Amarone, if wine distributors have one, let's say, producer of Amarone, and this Amarone, this producer produce in, let's say, big body style. They teach all, let's say, step down, 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 till customer that Amarone should be
big.
Mm-hmm. But of course, I know that Amarone in my wine club are sometimes showing 5, 6, 7, several labels that it could be smooth, let's say, easy drinking,
yes,
relative, mm-hmm, for Amarone, but not the only one. So of course I'm teaching to, but I think that maybe the help of consortium, producer, and educator could be
closer,
yeah, and it's help to everyone. So in,
I think that,
just open this.
That's a really good question. I think it all, in my opinion, it depends. It varies by how close you are to the consumer, right? Some people can do it directly, mm-hmm, meaning you work in a retail shop. That's probably the easiest way. We make sure that if you live in a highly Hispanic market, that you have people who reflect what your audience and your customer base looks like. That could be also the same for, say, if you work as a distributor, maybe make sure that at least go out of your way. And if those markets are important for you, that you still have a few people who can relate to that and can definitely have that additional value that they bring. For other, I'm saying for even like wineries, probably it's not as easy, or, you know, Italian wineries that don't have the direct contact, but just, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask if this is important, to say, hey, just trying to bring it up as a possibility that do you do in markets where it's relevant, that people that you work with have a good representation of what the end audience and the consumer looks like. I think that's a positive thing. So I think it all depends. And another way is, like, for example, like the Bordeaux board did, which they actually hired someone, became sort of an ambassador in a way, that had already connections with the market, and made that sort of liaison directly and say, okay, this is how, yeah, you know the audience and you know what they prefer, and let's sort of bring it and make it approachable. So I think it all is not super easy. It depends on where in the value chain you are, but even if you're removed from that, there's something you can do just to ask your importer or distributor, hey, yeah, the U.S. Hispanic market is important. How many sales reps or many people that represent that group? It's like, yeah, I don't know, Nadia, if you have any other thoughts.
No, I think I agree with you. So it's both have to do something for help to promote. So, for example, when I go to the USA market, I do myself with our importer. And I go to visit, and I tell the story, you know, about my wine, but also about my winery. So help to increase, to push, not only the passion, the story of the family, but also the territory. So I think is important, no? And we need also the ambassador, because when the producer can go always to visit the Horeca or the wine club, we need also the ambassador that transmit the importance, no, of our philosophy, our wines, and I think it's important, this network. Yeah, mm-hmm, it's very important.
Okay, so well.
No, I have another question. Please. I can see. Yeah. So we are here in Italy. Uh-huh. So it's an important fair, exhibition. And so we hope that in the near future, we have a possibility to have a lot of tourists come to visit the Italy country. Mm-hmm. So do you think that, for example, the Spanish, you see that Italian wines is, mm-hmm, important because it's after the USA. So do you think that we need to do something for to promote our country. So we need to do also for invite to see, to come to visit our winery. You know that for all the Italian produce is very important, the hospitality, you know, to have the opportunity to show our passion, our winery. And so do you think that there is something that we can do for increase to come to visit this type of Hispanic community to visit us?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that the people Hispanics are interested of getting beyond that and knowing what's out there, and especially in Italy, there's a lots of appetite for knowledge and for not only where the wine comes from, how was it made, and what are the place looks like. So yes, by promoting that, one, educating them on the different regions and what's unique about each one of them, where the key grapes, and eventually make it possible to have wine related trips to the main wine growing areas. I don't think that necessarily you need to do something specifically in the winery, but just getting to that process of once getting them become aware of that, where that is, and then promoting the place, getting that top of mind of, oh, and I think I really want to go to Veneto, and I know that I'm going to try this amazing Amarones, for example, as a way of a seed, planting that seed, that there's a lot of receptivity that people would then, we want to travel and see it firsthand. So yes, absolutely. And I think there's a lot of work that can happen before, just to get them interested, and then they once they get here, it'll be an amazing experience. But yeah, and there's a lot of potential for that too. Yeah.
Thank you. And what is the favorite wine, Italian wine? You know, is it north or south Italy?
So I don't know the specifics. Some of the survey says that more of the actual bigger, bolder, fuller-bodied wines are probably the most initially approachable. So I think that's a combination of either, you know, wines from the south, from Sicily and Puglia, and also bigger ones like Amarone and sort of Brunello. So it's, I think that, yeah, it's initially more the fruit forest styles, and then the next level is getting to a little more nuanced and complex, both reds and whites, and even sparkling. So yeah, future for that too. Most likely, I'll say that Prosecco cannot be discounted. Yeah,
but we need to promote that every region produce also a sparkling wine.
And I think that that and increasing that more of a daily consumption, which is probably the difference with, say, you know, Italian communities, which is part of their meal, and Italian American communities. That's something that once you get to that point, then it's just an entry into all the styles and all the great things about Italian wine. Perfect.
Thank you, Alberto. Thank you, everybody, for come to this panel. So thank you very much. And we hope to see you, Alberto, and all of you next year at Vinitaly 2022.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through ItalianWinePodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.
Hey guys, I'm Joy Livingston, and I am the producer of the Italian Wine Podcast. Thank you for listening. We are the only wine podcast that has been doing a daily show since the pandemic began. This is a labor of love, and we are committed to bringing you free content every day. Of course, this takes time and effort, not to mention the cost of equipment, production, and editing. We would be grateful for your donations, suggestions, requests, and ideas. For more information on how to get in touch, go to ItalianWinePodcast.com.